This Jewish woman, as a child, was supernaturally protected during the Holocaust to the point that even Hitler patted her on the head, not realizing she was a Jew. On this edition of It's Supernatural.
Life after death experiences and angelic communications are on the increase. Terminally ill patients whom doctors have given no hope are unexplainably cured. People are being mysteriously protected from natural disasters. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, examines this invisible world on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. My guest, Ilse Bejold, should not be here. You see, she was a Jew in Hitler's Holocaust. And Ilse, you were at a parade that Hitler was going by? And how did he happen to even stop and single you out?
Because I started screaming from the top of my lungs.
Why?
When I heard he was coming up, not knowing. I was getting very, very frustrated. We had been standing there for hours. And you know, a little girl, they don't like to be still that long.
How old were you?
About 5 years old. And so when I heard he was coming, I started screaming. My mother helped me, my father helped me, nothing stopped me. So he comes up with his big limousine, stops right in front of me, gets out, comes over, pats me over the head, and said, "What a nice Aryan girl," not knowing I was Jewish.
If he only knew. Just out of curiosity, that happened a lot of years ago.
Yes.
But do you remember what he looked like?
Oh. Yes, I never will forget it. He made a deep impression on me.
Now, but at that time, you didn't know
about persecution
or anything else.
No.
Because he was probably just coming into power.
Yes, yes.
Well, how, as a Jew, did you survive?
Through a miracle. Through just miracles. People told us, don't go to your house today. Go here or do this or do that. Through a miracle, I'm alive today.
Now, your mother also had an interesting miracle of healing. Tell me about
yes.
that. Tell me what happened to your mother.
My mother was very sick. She had kind of like a heart a problem. And the doctor sent her home and told her, enjoy your three children. In 3 months, you will be dead.
Hmm.
And a missionary came to our door and talked to her about converting. And she figured, well, I'm going to die in 3 months anyways, so I might as well receive Jesus as my personal savior. And this missionary sent a doctor to our home who gave her some medicine. It was a white powder. Every day he came. And my mother got totally well. And
Did you think the doctor healed her or God healed her or what?
I thought the doctor healed her because I didn't believe in anything.
Why? You're a Jew.
Well, because of all the things that were going on around us. So I didn't think there was a God that loved us if all these things took place.
What about your mother? Did your mother believe God healed her?
My mother believed, yes, yes. And we heckled her. We made life miserable for her.
So you survived the Holocaust. You came to the United States. And why in the world does a Jewish woman that is an atheist end up in a Christian church?
Well, it wasn't really a Christian church. My girlfriend, a Catholic girl that I had known from Germany, took me to this quote-unquote theater in the round, which was Melody Land.
That was a church!
Yeah, but I didn't know it was a church.
Oh, I see.
I did not know.
So you went to a theater in the round, and what happened?
And they were talking about Jesus, and I said...
So what did you feel when you heard the name Jesus?
I didn't feel too comfortable.
Why? You didn't believe in God. What difference does it make?
Well, I didn't know. I felt I wasted my time. Going there, a guy that talks about himself and hides behind this Jesus. He had a Jesus crutch. And I said, I don't have to have a crutch. I'm a self-made businesswoman. And I wanted to leave, and my girlfriend wouldn't let me leave. And so the next week she called me again, and I had so many things to do. I had a collect the rent from our apartment house and do the books. And she said, well, if you go with me one more time, God will collect the rent for you. And I said, yeah, he's going to come down personally and collect all the rents. Well, she talked me into it. I went with her one more time. And she evidently had told some of the people there that I was Jewish. And they showed me so much love, I couldn't help but fall in love with not only them, but with Jesus too, that they represented.
Now, you had a vision of Jesus. Tell me about that.
Well, we're Jewish people, we're very stubborn. We have to see a sign. And I didn't believe that he was the Jewish Messiah.
But you just told me they loved you so much, you did believe.
I believed in their Messiah. I didn't believe in my Messiah.
Because
he was still going to come. And so I said, if you are really who you are, said you are, you reveal yourself to me. And he appeared to me.
Yes, really. Were you drinking?
No, I don't drink and I don't smoke.
Drugs?
No, no drugs either, never.
He appeared to you?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, he all of a sudden stood there and he says, I am the Messiah that you people are waiting for.
What did he look like?
If I tell you how he looked like, he was absolutely very, very, very handsome. He had a face that nobody can put on paper. Nobody can draw of him. He is so beautiful. That's why I think he says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt make no graven images, because nobody would do him any justice. He had out of his eyes streamed love. He was so beautiful and so soft-spoken. And you could tell that, I don't know how to explain it, except that you fell in love with him without saying a word.
And when he came to you, you realized Jesus was the Jewish Messiah?
Then I knew that I had met the God of Israel.
Yeah, but most Jewish people feel Jesus isn't the Jewish Messiah.
Well, they don't see it, but if he ever appears to them, they will know.
You're about 99% sure?
Yes, because I saw
100%.
120% and more, because I saw him again.
Let's go to another part. One day you were in a retirement village where you were living and you went swimming.
Yes.
And something horrible happened to you. What happened?
I went in a coma. My left side got darker and darker. I was drawn down more and more. And this man appeared to me.
But wait. What caused that physically?
A stroke, a very, very bad stroke.
So you were swimming and you had a stroke.
Yes, and then all of a sudden,
Was anyone around?
Well, nobody was around. I couldn't figure out why I swam, and the other side didn't come any closer to me. And so I said, something must be wrong. So I stopped and I walked over and I walked all the way up to the front and I held on to the railing. And this lady came in and she said, hi, Ilse. And I said, hi. No, I didn't say anything to her. And she said, are you okay? And she took my glasses off, and at that time I went down. I would have drowned if she hadn't held me up.
And when you went down, what did she do?
She was holding me up. And they called 911 and they took me to the emergency hospital.
So you had this brain aneurysm.
Yes.
But you weren't really there. Something was going on with you. As a matter of fact, I want you to come back right after these words, because you're going to find out about her visitation to heaven.
We will return to It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, Sid Roth back. I'm speaking to Ilse Bejold, a miracle. Because Adolf Hitler touched, just patted this little Jewish girl, not realizing she was a Jew, and through miraculous fashion, she survived the Holocaust, came to America, but then she had a stroke in the water, a brain, was it, Ilse, a brain aneurysm?
It was a brain aneurysm, and it was a large lemon on the middle of my head.
Okay, and you went down, and it happened in the swimming pool. I mean, what an awful place for it to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
If a neighbor hadn't just shown up,
that's right.
That
would have
been
drowned.
Curtains for you. But so you went down, she pulled you out, called 911, ambulance came. But what was going on with you?
With me, I was going down more into darkness on my left side. And as I went down in the darkness on my left side, I saw this man. He wore a suit, a white shirt, a cigar hanging out of his mouth, and he had a hat on. He said, "Ilse, you belong to me." And I knew that wasn't Jesus.
How did you know?
Because he had visited me a long time ago and talked to me. And so I said, "No, I don't. I belong to Jesus." So I thought, well, I'm going to cover all my parts, and I'm going to talk to him. I'm calling him in Hebrew and in English. So I called him Abba, Father, Jesus, Yeshua, Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh. And then I called again, "Yeshua, Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus." And at that moment, I don't know how, but I wound up on the Sea of Galilee. And here he came with his beautiful royal robe on, and he had his arms stretched out wide, and I just ran into them. And from that moment on, he had his hand on my shoulder all the time while we were walking, and we walked on the Sea of Galilee, and he told me all the things that were going to happen to this country if our country did not repent.
What did he tell you?
He says, we have to repent from the highest top, from our government. And then he told me, whenever there was problems with the Israelites, when they lost the wars, it was sin in the camp. And that's what's wrong with our country. From the highest on up, we have sinned. And we have not taken the commandments serious. And we have murdered many innocent babies. And we have homosexuality and all kinds. And most of all, we have a foreign god. We worship other gods. And it made him very unhappy. And he said that repentance starts in the church. And he wanted me to go to the church and tell him that. Without repentance, there is no revival. And then he showed me the terrible things again. There were firestorms, earthquakes, tidal waves, famine?
Yes, famine.
Famine, yes. And then it seemed to me like it was a nuclear holocaust because the people, all the skin came off their flesh, and the eyeballs kept coming out. And it was so horrible.
You know, that reminds me, the Jewish prophet Zechariah has a description of just what you're saying in the last days.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Yeah. And then we went up to heaven. And Jesus has such a sense of humor. He is so funny, you know. And so we get up there, and he said, "By the way, Ilse, what tribe are you from?" And I said, "I'm from the tribe of Judah. You know that. I told you that long time ago." And you told me that. And so he said, "I'm the Lion of Judah. I roar." You know, and we laughed together. And then he said, "There's King David. He's dancing. He was dancing for him." And he says, "Go over and shake his hands. That's your brother." And so I did. And then I met the 24 elders that sitting around the throne room. And I could not personally go in the throne room because there was too many flashing lights. And then we walked again. And we walked and we walked. And then we saw the earth about like a ball of like this. And from the earth came shafts of light going up to the throne room, small one and a little bigger and a little bigger and real big.
I said,
"Lord, what are they?" And he said, "They're prayers for you." I said, "Prayers for me? Why are they prayers for me? I don't know that many people." And he said, "Yes, you do." And then we walked again, and then we came the other way, and it was the music. I want to tell you something. if anybody really wants to go to heaven, they must like Jewish things because everybody in heaven is Jewish. Everything was Jewish.
Well, not everyone in heaven is Jewish,
no,
but everything was Jewish.
Everything is Jewish. And the music of Zion, it was so beautiful and so peaceful. So I asked the Lord, do I have to go back down there? And he said, I cannot make up your mind for you. You have to do it, but let me show you something. And he says, but your husband and your family, your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, they're crying for you. And then he showed me the screen, and he showed me everything that happened after I received him as my personal savior.
Like you saw your whole life
my
after
my whole life rolled in front of me. And we got to a point where I said, what am I doing up here? I said, I haven't brought the homes, the prefabricated homes that I was going to bring for the Jewish people that are coming out of Russia and from all over the world. And when he heard that, he winked his eye and he snapped his finger and he said, go back down to Zion and sound the trumpet.
Elsa, I have a question for you. This entire interview, there have been tears. Your eyes are all teary. How come?
Whenever I talk about Yeshua, my Savior, I get homesick for him. It's something that comes up from my innermost being that I want to see him again. And I cannot help but cry.
I have another question for you, Elsa. The doctors gave you a 20% chance of survival. And if you survived, you'd be a vegetable the rest of your life from this aneurysm. Why in the world would you want to come back to a body like that?
I don't know. I guess when he said, blow the trumpet in Zion, I just knew in my heart that was his wish, and I wanted to fulfill his command.
I have a question for you. And the question that I have for you is, would you want to come back to earth when you had heaven and go back to a body such as she had, where she would be a vegetable? Don't go away. We'll catch up on this story when I come back.
We'll be right back with more of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth back again with Ilse Bejold. Ilse had a brain aneurysm, and she was swimming. I mean, what a place to have a brain aneurysm. She's fished out, they call 911, they bring her to the hospital, they say 20% chance of survival, and if you survive, you'll be a vegetable the rest of your life. Her family says, no, I'm going to hold on. And she slips out of her body, goes up to heaven, and literally, Jesus gave you a choice of staying there or coming back, but you knew in your heart you should come back.
Yes.
And you literally could see the prayers of loved
yes,
ones.
Yes, I did.
Coming. What did the prayers look like?
They looked like rays of light, like shafts of light, small ones and big ones and bigger ones. And now everybody that hears me, listen, when you pray, God hears your prayers.
A lot of people feel that it's a waste, but no, you're saying he sees them all.
I saw them up there. They go straight in the throne room.
So Jesus said, do you want to go back to earth or not?
Yeah.
And everyone I have talked to has not wanted to go back to earth, but you felt in your heart there was unfinished business. So you said yes, and then what happened?
And then we walked again. I knew in my heart he wanted me to do this work for him. And then we walked some more, and then he said, Ilse, you stay here, I have something to do. And I saw some man come, very good looking, very dressed, very rich, and he walked, but they let me know that I couldn't see his face. And so Jesus walked over to him, and the guy was very arrogant, and he said,
now, this was like an evangelist?
I think so. I was known, made known that he was a televangelist,
uh-huh,
a pastor. And he says, well, Jesus, I'm here. And so Jesus said to him, what have you done for my people, the Jewish people? And he said, oh, I opened eyes and I opened ears and I did this and I did that. And then there was a little pause and the Lord said to him again, what did you do for my people, the Jewish people? And he says, I did this and I did that, I did this. There was a longer pause and all of a sudden all of heaven vibrated and he spoke with a very harsh voice and he said, Isaiah 40, comfort ye my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, saith your God. He said, I know you're not going in the outer darkness. And that kind of scared me. I couldn't figure out. Jesus was so nice to me, and you know, we kid and we laugh, and to him he was so harsh. And the Lord must have known what was in my mind, what I thought. And he said, it's okay, don't worry about it. He says, now I want you to build the wall out of golden bricks. I didn't know for the longest time what he meant by that, but I do know now.
What did it mean?
It means bring the Christians and the Jewish people together. Show the Christians that they have a Jewish root, that they have to full. If they are called Christians, then they have to be Christ-like, and they have to read the Bible and keep all the feasts and everything that is in the Bible. And
all
do
the
not
festivals.
Festivals, and do not keep the pagan festivals.
But what I want to know is when you came back into your body, what happened?
Then I was, well, when I came back into my body, I spoke perfect Hebrew. The people that were in my room.
Did you know Hebrew?
No, only what I got from the temple, you know.
Just a few words, but you were speaking perfect Hebrew.
Perfect Hebrew.
How did you know perfect Hebrew?
I don't know. I guess
it was just a supernatural thing.
Yeah, supernatural thing.
Who was in the room when you came back?
A pastor and his wife from Bakersfield, and Pammy, my writer that wrote the book for me now, and my husband, and that was all. They were there.
And what did they think when you came back and started speaking?
They said, talk to us in English. We don't understand. And then I talked for a long time in Hebrew, and then finally I went back to the English.
What did the doctors and nurses think?
There was a miracle.
What did they say?
My doctor said to my husband, I have a confession to make. I told you that your wife had a 15% chance. She didn't have any chance at all. He says, I was lying to you about that. Mm. So I was the miracle of the whole hospital.
Yes, but what was your physical condition? I mean, you look pretty good now.
Well, I look fine then.
You look fine.
Yeah, because
you had a brain aneurysm.
I know.
You're under the water. Yeah. They said 15-20% chance of survival. They lied to your family. You had no chance of survival.
Right.
And you were normal?
Yeah. The Lord said to me just before I went down, he said to me, and I want you to go to my Jewish people and tell them I love them. I really, really love them. Three times, and he said, go back down and tell my Jewish people I love them. I really, really love them. And then he said, and I breathe some more love into you. And he went, and he blew some love into me. And then he says, now go back down. He says, and Ilse, I will heal you completely. So I didn't ask when, how, and why. And he said, before you go, I want you to know I will be your cloud in the daytime and I will be your fiery pillar at night. And then I felt a suction that went whoosh, and I was back in my body.
Tell me, I mean, everything you're telling me is intriguing me, Elsa, but tell me about when he blew love at you.
It came out of his eyes and out of his mouth, and it was so heavy that regardless who would say anything about a Jewish person, I would take them, I would love them, because he gave me such a supernatural love that I can't help giving it to them.
Ilse, you're crying again.
Yeah.
Why are you crying?
Because I just saw how, I remembered how he blew that love into me. And it's a love that I cannot explain. It's a supernatural love.
You know, they talk about peace treaties in the Middle East and peace treaties and all around the world. I think all the world needs is the love of God, not the human love. Big difference between human love and the love that Jesus blew up on you.
Yes.
What about you? You know, it's wonderful that that happened to Ilsa, but what about you? I tell you, the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. Do you know what that means? That means He loves you as much as He loves Ilsa, as much as He loves anyone who has ever lived. And if you repent of your sins, that means turn from your sins, ask Jesus to forgive you, and make Him your Messiah and Lord, to live in you, and then begin to worship God. Tell Him how much you love Him. Say, God, blow on me like you did on Ilsa with your love.